Would the board come back up? All right, Representative Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know which of you two gentlemen would be in the best position to answer this question, but are there clinics or organizations or providers that are prescribing abortion-inducing drugs in the state of Iowa but for Planned Parenthood?
For me to answer? I mean, the physician board members say that this is a pill that a physician could prescribe in his office across the state.
So with that thought in mind, we just looked at a rule that says a physician can now supervise 5 physician assistants. Didn't we just look at a rule like that? Mm-hmm. And it's my understanding, based upon the definition of supervision, which there isn't one, that if I held an Iowa license for medicine, I lived in Lexington, Kentucky, I could have 5 clinics in Iowa where a PA ran each of those clinics. That PA could prescribe this abortion-inducing drug. The doc never will talk to the patient. The doc will never see the patient, but that's okay. Is that my understanding?
While it's unclear whether that would be a violation of the rules, I believe that would be a violation of the standard of care, and that would be subject to a board investigation.
Which piece of that would be a violation of the standard of care? The fact that the doctor was licensed in Iowa but was living somewhere else?
I believe so. I believe the board would have the expectation.
Let's put the doctor in Des Moines. He's a practitioner in Des Moines. He has his medical Iowa license. He's got 5 clinics out in the hinterland in Iowa. Same scenario. A female comes in, wants to have an abortion. The physician's assistant prescribes the drug, hands it to her. The doc never sees her. Isn't that true?
Under the scenario you described, correct.
Is that scenario a real scenario?
I'm not aware of that practice, but I can't guarantee it isn't occurring.
Could that practice occur?
I believe there are settings where different types of care are occurring in that setting. I believe that the board's position would be that the physician had a role in direct supervision. That means being there on site at least a portion of the time.
Well, maybe a portion of the time when the patient's not there. Is that true?
No question. Physician assistants provide care while there is not a supervising physician in person.
Particularly when now we can supervise 5 physician assistants in 5 different locations. There's no way that physician can be at all 5 places at the same time. True?
That is a possibility. Again, I think the board would review those circumstances to determine whether it met the standard of care.
Okay, it's a possibility. How can the physician be at 5 places at the same time, unless he's practicing telemedicine?
Under your scenario, it could not be.
So under my scenario, right now in the state of Iowa, a female could come in for an abortion in one of these clinics that's run by a PA and never, never have the opportunity to talk to a physician in person or by webcam. True?
Correct. That is a possibility.
It seems rather ironic, does it not?
That's not for me to say.
It's for me to say. Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're welcome. Senator Yocum.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to follow up with what Representative Olson was saying, it's my understanding that in Iowa we do require a physician to dispense the medication abortion. So a PA could not, unless I'm misunderstanding our own current law.
My understanding is that would be inconsistent with the FDA guidelines, but I'm not aware of a statutory requirement at the current time.
Let me just say that I do know there are 11 states in this country, because I did a little research, 11 states that do not require a physician to dispense the medication abortion. So there are 11 states that have decided that that a mid-level practitioner can actually prescribe the medication. Advanced registered nurse practitioner, a physician assistant, et cetera, the mid-level. But in Iowa, we do require a physician to dispense that medication.
I believe the statute in Iowa says that only a physician can provide an abortion. It does not discuss medical medically induced abortion.
But starting 2008, we did start saying that telemedicine was authorized, and many other states also have allowed docs to use telemedicine if they choose to do so within their state. Iowa happens to be one of them that has approved telemedicine technique procedure. So I want to go back to the actual process that was used within your rules to come up with the proposal before us today. So it's my understanding that, just from the notes I have taken, that the petition was received by the Board of Medicine on Tuesday, June 25th. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And then the board itself met 2 days later on the 27th and 8th of June.
Correct.
And so now walk me through your own rules and what dictates that you would do that. Do you usually respond to a petition within 3 days after receiving it? What are your actual rules when you receive this kind of, I believe you have more than 3 days to respond, that you actually have to send information out to the petitioners. And so what are your own rules governing this petition?
Sure, and I can tell you there isn't a history to discuss. This hasn't occurred. I mean,
with anything that you're doing.
With petition for rulemaking. But our rule says that within 10 days, we have to provide the petitioner notice and an opportunity to provide additional information. We have within a 10-day period.
That did not happen.
Correct.
Never 10 days. Okay.
Correct.
And then the petitioner, they have 30 days to submit written comments. Is that true?
That's what the rules state.
And then there's a schedule an oral presentation.
That's correct. And we have scheduled.
You didn't even follow your own rules at this point.
The board reviewed the rules and felt that it was appropriate to go forward with the notice of the rules at the last board meeting.
Okay. So I'm trying not to leave the reservation here too much, but since we're having such heartburn over telemedicine, any of us who have been working within the whole mental health arena, we know that there are far more adverse effects from some of the psychotropic drugs than what we're talking about today. Are we planning to somehow ban telemedicine for telepsychiatry? Because the argument was that this wasn't going to be safe, there could be adverse problems.
You know, I think a key part of that and a part of this discussion is the physician-patient relationship.
Yeah.
Okay, and what has been established with the psychotropic drugs and so forth, there is a relationship that has been established that has occurred. And this would be a continuing care, if you will.
But we also know that psychotropic drugs have far more adverse effects than anything that we're talking about today.
I couldn't speak to the medicine on that.
So they do. All right. I'm going to just, I'll stop there for the time being. I'm sure there's other questions.
How often are to follow up on the process questions, how often are the Board of Medicine meetings?
Generally, they approximately every 8 to 10 weeks.
Okay, so you received a petition and you have 10 days to respond. You almost had to have an emergency meeting in order to respond. Is that right?
If the board had not taken action at the last meeting, they would have had to schedule some type of meeting to address the petition based on the deadline.
So, like, when we get emergency rules, we have to call a special meeting to meet certain deadlines, and that would have had to happen there.
Correct. Okay. There was too much time between meetings.
And so, and you're using the regular notice rule, and you're going to have written comments and a public hearing. And so I guess I know I stomped into DHS one time with the petition, and they had to come back with an answer to me within a certain amount of time, so I understand that. As far as the telemedicine part and the drugs prescribed by a psychiatrist, I guess I look at that type of drug and ones that send me home to have contractions and do a lot of bleeding is very different. So, and I don't know. I
would say that there are significant consequences to both practices. And the board's role in this arena is to establish safe standards of care, standards of practice for physicians, and that's why the rules are going forward.
Okay. Are there any other questions from the committee?
Senator Courtney. Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Just a couple more. When you got the petition, did the board, I assume you, like all the boards I serve on, you have subcommittees, things like that. Did you put a subcommittee or a portion of your board into investigating the petition and investigate and see where it was going? Did you have an investigation of it before you passed the rule?
The petition was discussed in what we call the executive committee, which addresses policy issues, the board, the running of the board, the agency. It was discussed on the morning of June 27th during that committee meeting.
Is that a research thing? Do you delve into it and research, for instance, how because we're talking about a procedure that we've all agreed is in effect, so the only part of it that we're questioning here is the telemarketing. So did you research our telemarketing? I had trouble with that word, but doing it on the TV. Did you research that portion of it to see if that was, that somehow was hurting people more than the when they walk in the office and have done? Because that's really the only thing we're talking about here. So did you see a difference there? What was the difference in doing it over the TV as doing it in person? Did you look at that?
Unfortunately, it appears that data doesn't exist.
So you
we haven't been able to locate that data.
Move the rule without researching?
In this instance, the petition was received on a Tuesday. The board reviewed it 2 days later, and on the third day, they voted to notice the rule.
So the physicians on the executive committee and ultimately six of the seven physicians on the board, based on their experience and practice, deemed that to be unsafe, and that as they saw the situation. Just as they would make that same kind of a decision when they look at an investigative report or anything. They would use their knowledge to say, this is safe medicine or not. And six of the seven physicians deemed it to be unsafe medicine. So they felt that the rule was worthy to move forward. They would not perform in that way.
So you're saying they looked at an investigative report before the meeting?
No, I'm sorry. I'm just saying that just as they pour over an investigative report on a complaint, they would ultimately make a decision, is this safe or not? And based on what they know about the practice, they deemed it to be unsafe on how they deliver their medical service.
I don't understand. You say normally they would have an investigative report to look over, but they didn't. Is that what you mean?
No. What I'm referencing is when they investigate a complaint and look at that, they're decisive, is what I'm saying. They would make a decision.
One last thing. Do you intend to file emergency after notice, or are you going to do it in a regular procedure, do you know?
At this point, the board has not even discussed filing emergency.
So that's not a yes or no, you just don't know, right?
At this point, we've not been given that guidance from the board.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Courtney. As the governor's administrative rules coordinator, I can assure you that with this rule, the regular process for public notice and comment needs to be filed, and the governor's office does not intend to clear filing of emergency after notice. It's important that the public has time to comment, that the board has time to review everything. My understanding is the board's hearing will occur later this month, the board needs to hear from the public and other interested parties at that hearing, as well as review any other comments that are received in the interim. So there is no intention of pursuing a filing of emergency after notice on this rule.
And I'll add that the board does have a public hearing scheduled on August 28th at 1 p.m. at the Wallace State Office Building Auditorium.
We'd also point out that All of the written comments that we're receiving are on the board's website, as well as the proposed rule in format, so it's there, and as it would be with any rule that we would be noticing, but it's, that information is readily accessible.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well,
actually, Madam Chair, I still think I'm going to move to suspend action on this rule for 70 days.
Okay, we don't need a second.
Yeah, we'll second one up.
All right, is there any discussion? All right, there's a motion on the floor to suspend this rule for further action for 70 days. Roll call, please.
Representative Pettengill?
No.
Senator Warren?
Aye.
Senator Chelburn?
No.
Senator Courtney?
Aye.
Representative Jacoby? Senator Yoakum?
Aye.
Representative Olson?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
No.
Senator Smith?
No.
Representative Van der Linden? 4-4. Motion fails.
All right. Yeah, the motion fails. Could I have a motion to adjourn?